Hey everyone, my name is Mitchell Holmes and I want to thank you for checking out this message today. We're so glad that you're here with us and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do that is to text the word River Connect to 97,000. There we can answer any questions you may have and even help pray for you. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Finally, if you want to support the work we are doing here at the River Church financially, please head to our website and click the Give tab at the top of the page, or you can text the amount that you want to give to 84321. Thank you again for joining us, and we hope you're blessed by today's message.
Well, good morning. How's everyone doing? Good. You guys sound incredible. I tell you what, it is a huge difference going from like the big auditorium in Holly to just this intimate setting where I can just hear your voices. I don't know how Pastor Josh gets up here and preach. I'd rather just listen to you guys singing the whole time. You guys are incredible. Oh, I love it. Worshiping the Lord, worshiping our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I want to welcome you. My name is Noble, and I'm the Connections Pastor at our Holly location, as well as I have the privilege of overseeing security for all nine of our locations. And I tell you what, our Lake Orion security team won the costume competition this past year at VBS. They dressed up as actual sheriffs. It was awesome. John was sending me pictures, and I was like, that's what I'm talking about. Even security is getting into VBS around here, all right? And so it was so fun, and it is a privilege to be back here in Lake Orion. I know I had the chance to be here back in March, I believe, as we were going through the promises. And I felt it was kind of fun and unique. This morning, we are going to be continuing on in this incredible letter that Paul has written for us, that he has written for the church, that he has just soaked in theology and doctrine, but written so lovingly for us here 2,000 years later as the Spirit, who we are going to continue talking about, came upon him and guided him to lead us and guide us as followers of Jesus Christ into this life as being his children, his followers, and what that means for us here now in 2025 as we are just living in this world that the Lord has blessed us with. And I was reminded how last time when we were talking about the promise of the Holy Spirit, how in John chapter 14, Jesus is speaking, and in John chapter 14, it's coming off of Jesus is preparing to leave, and he's preparing his disciples for him leaving this world. And even in the beginning of John chapter 14 there, Jesus reminds his disciples not to be troubled because they're hurting. They're sad that their teacher is going to leave, that Jesus is going to leave them, this man who they've spent these 3 years with, nonstop learning from him, doing life every single day with Jesus. And he says there in John 14, verse 15, he says, "If you love me, you will keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." And I love this passage because before we get into Romans chapter 8 here, and we're going to continue and finish up verses 9 through 11, this is really, Paul is writing about the fulfillment of that promise from Jesus here in John chapter 14, talking about the indwelling of the Spirit in the followers' lives, and so in our lives. And so I want to go ahead and pray, and then we are going to dive into Romans chapter 8 this morning. So God, just come before you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for the privilege it is to come to this place to worship your name boldly, to worship your name loudly, Lord, that we do not have fear, that we are not ashamed, that we are not worried, God, but we can come to this place and just freely proclaim the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. What a privilege that is just to utter his name, Lord. God, I ask that you would bless them as they just lead this congregation here, Father. We love you, we praise you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, you got your devices, right? Cell phones, iPads. I don't know, does anyone take an iPad to church? I mean, I know I have one, but maybe, I don't know. You got your iPad, you can whip open that bad boy and open up to Romans chapter 8 here. And last week, Matt covered Romans 8, 1 through 8. Just such a sweet, sweet passage here as Paul is writing about what our lives look like in the Spirit, what our lives look like when we have received the promise of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so Romans 8, beginning in verse 9, Paul writes, he says, "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him." And so Paul is beginning this passage here, and he says, you, right? So he's talking directly, as he continues, to those who proclaim Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I love 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Paul is writing, and he's writing to the church there in Corinth, and he gives what is seen as the oldest and earliest account of the gospel written in God's word, because as we read there in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul writes and he says that there are 400 witnesses still alive even at this moment who have seen Jesus resurrected. So it really kind of dates in there the resurrection of Jesus and the sharing of the gospel. But I love what he writes there in 1 Corinthians 15, that the gospel is this, that Jesus died in accordance to the scriptures for our sins, that he was buried, and on the third day he rose again. And so that is the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And whenever we talk about the Holy Spirit, whenever we see this word "you," as Paul is directly talking to a specific group, that specific group he is talking to is followers of Jesus Christ who have truly confessed that they are sinners, confessing that we are in need of a sinner, confessing that there is nothing good in us, right? We have this big theological doctrinal term called total depravity, okay? You go to Bible college or whatever, maybe you go to Sunday school, you hear this big word, you know, total depravity of man. But what that means is, guess what? I am completely sinful. There is nothing good, nothing clean in me. I am totally a sinner, broken. There's nothing I could do to ever attain, gain, or deserve saving, salvation, however, because of the free gift, because of the grace of our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ, what happens is that we are washed clean, that we are seen righteous before our Heavenly Father. So when Paul says "you," he's talking to those of us who have confessed Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that we have proclaimed him our Lord. And he says, "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit." And so we have these two kind of dividing factors here that Paul is talking about, these two things that separate, these two categories, if you will, that our world is ultimately in. There's two categories. There is living in the flesh, right? Living in the flesh, and then living in the Spirit. Living in the Spirit. And so really, if we boil it down to one thing, the one dividing factor, the one thing that says what category you are in is Jesus Christ, right? We're just gonna boil it down to the most important foundational aspect of either living in the flesh or living in the Spirit, and that is faith in Jesus Christ. But I wanted to take a step back, and Paul uses this word, "you are not in the flesh." Well, what does it mean that we are living in the flesh? And so I'm going to take us back, you know, to like the beginning of summer, right? Because we're in this like 32-week series going through the book of Romans. If you haven't noticed, when you picked up the book, it said Romans part one. Don't worry, part two is coming up in September, all right? We're going to continue on through the book of Romans. But going back to Romans chapter one, and in Romans chapter 1, I would encourage you this week to read back over Romans 1, verses 18 through 32. It is just a reminder of the brokenness of our world and the things to be aware of. However, when talking about living in the flesh, I want to go to Romans 1, verse 24. And Paul writes, it says, "Therefore, God gave them up to the lusts of their hearts, to impurity, to dishonoring their bodies amongst themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served creatures rather than the Creator." All right, so we see, what does life in the flesh do? Well, life in the flesh is living in the lust of the heart, impurity, dishonoring your body, exchanging the truth of God for a lie, ignoring God's truths, worshiping creation over worship of our Heavenly Father. But he doesn't stop there, continuing to show us and remind us, and he's calling out in this passage in the beginning, right, what this life in the flesh looks like. And he continues on in verse 28, and he says, "And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They're full of envy and murder and strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, and ruthless." It's a tough beginning to the morning, huh? That's the reality of the flesh. That's the reality of life in the flesh, is that it's gross. It's broken. It's sick. It doesn't know anything more but to be selfish, to look to your own desires, your own cares, to be blown by the wind, to look to the world to find hope, to find a hole to fix that place that is missing in their lives. And so as we begin here in Romans 8, verse 9, there is these two categories. And I do want to pause and say, man, if those things that I just read, you're like, "Man, Pastor, I feel like some of that is taking root in my life. I have allowed that to creep into my life." And maybe you haven't fully given over your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Do not go another day. Don't go another minute living in the flesh. Because as we read there in Romans 1, 18 through 32, the only thing that comes from life in the flesh is total destruction. Complete separation from our Heavenly Father. And so if you have never truly proclaimed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it truly is as simple as saying, "Lord, I am a broken sinner. God, I need you in my life. I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I love you, and I proclaim you the Lord of my life." It's as simple as that. Confessing and believing in your hearts that he is your Savior, that he is who he says he is. And so we continue on, but I want to make sure that we understand these two dividing factors that Paul is talking about. He says, "If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him." And so we have these two categories, that we have those who live in the flesh, those who live in the Spirit that is given through faith in Jesus Christ. But he continues on. He continues on in verse 10. And he says, but if Christ is in you, if you have proclaimed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you have believed in who he says he is, although the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. And so I really hope that one day when we are all together in heaven, I don't know about you, but there's just like, I have a Rolodex of questions that I want to go through, and I want to ask just so many of the champions of the Bible, so many faithful servants of the Lord, right? I want to ask, like, Noah, was he ever seasick? You know what I mean? Like, I can't do planes, I can do cruise ships, but like, I don't know, like that thing was not a cruise ship. It was big, but like, you know, it didn't have like the nice like hotel room and you got the buffet, like that wasn't happening, all right? So were you seasick, you know? And like Moses, right, starting ministry when he was like 80, all right? Like, man, how'd you do it? Like, you had to have some aches and pains, no Tylenol you weren't taking, like we good here, right? Like, what did it look like when the sea just split open, like, oh my goodness, and you were standing there while millions of Israelites crossed through, okay? It's just, you know, and then Gideon, I mean, what, how crazy was that, right? You smashed some glass on the ground and you blew a trumpet and everyone's just killing each other, like, that's crazy. And then David, like, wow, how was it when you, just that little stone to Goliath, all right? My son loves singing that song. He's counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 stones, right? And then he's slinging it, and he's got to do the pew, right, when Goliath falls forward, okay? Just I want to ask these questions, but I have to believe that Paul, he was a studied man. He was a learned man, right? We know that he was a scholar, that he went to school, that he knew the scriptures. But it's so fascinating to me that whenever I'm reading through Romans specifically, I see him always thinking about what the readers may ask or what little things they're going to hold on to try to trip him up and like throw in these questions. And he says, but if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. So what does he mean by although the body is dead because of sin? And we know that if we go back to the beginning, which also it's like, they're going to have the longest line, Adam and Eve. Like, what were you two thinking, right? Like, that line's going to be out the door. Like, come on, what were you guys thinking? We go back to Genesis chapter 2 and Genesis chapter 3, and we know that God told them clearly, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what happened is that being human, right, they disobeyed. They went back to the flesh thinking that they knew better, thinking of their own desires, questioning the Lord. And then here we go. We have this spiral of sin. We have this spiral of sin. And what happens is we go back to Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Paul writes and he says, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the reality of death, the reality of these earthly bodies, biologically, physically, is that we will die. We will pass away. That will never change. We have Elijah, who was taken up in a chariot of fire, all right? And then we have Enoch, who walked with the Lord. Outside of those two, okay, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, right? They seemingly did not pass away. That's what the scriptures tell us, taken up in a chariot of fire and walking with the Lord, okay? These earthly bodies will pass away. That is a reality of sin. That is the reality of the brokenness of our world. That is the penalty that is paid because of sin. But if Christ is in you, but because of Jesus, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And what this means, what Paul is trying to communicate to us, is exactly what he was saying here in Romans 6:23, right? The free gift of God is eternal life, is that yes, these earthly bodies will pass away. We live here in Michigan and we see the seasons, right? We see all four seasons, sometimes in one day, right? All right, you're waking up wearing shorts and then you're wearing a hoodie by the afternoon, okay? It's crazy. But the reality is that if we confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, right? We're living in this category. We've accepted Jesus Christ, no longer living in the flesh, is that we have this free gift of life in the Spirit. And what that means is that, yes, these earthly bodies will pass away. These aches and pains will cease. But we are guaranteed eternity with our Heavenly Father. We are guaranteed forever in heaven with Him, where there are no more aches and pains, no more sorrow, no tears, no hurts, no struggles. There's no sin. There's no living in the flesh. That is all going to pass away one day because of Jesus, because of His righteousness. Nothing we can do, right? Going back to that total depravity, nothing we could ever earn, nothing that we can ever attain one day because of His righteousness, because of His death on the cross and His glorious resurrection for us. We have life in the Spirit. Paul continues on and he's talking more about the Spirit, understanding that, man, the Spirit of God is living within us, right? This is what he promised in John chapter 14, 15 through 17. He said that I am going to leave. I'm going to send the Helper. I'm not going to leave you alone. I am going to send the Spirit, the Helper, to come. And did he say he's just going to hang out with you? Did he say he's just going to come upon you when times are rough, when things are hard, or when things are really good, he's going to be there hanging out? No, he says in verse 11 and in Romans chapter 8, he says, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Again, in John chapter 14, 15 through 17, he said that the Spirit would dwell within us. What does this word dwell mean? Well, I whipped out my phone and looked on Google real quick, all right, as we always do in this crazy world we live in 2025. All right, the word dwell means to live in a specific place, to take residence. Not just visiting. Not just coming by to say hi. The Spirit of the Lord dwells within each and every follower of Jesus Christ who declares Him the Lord of their lives. That is a guarantee. That was a promise that was made from Jesus Christ Himself. And I want you to know this morning. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that you have to say some special words, that you have to say some utterances, that you have to go behind a room to receive the Holy Spirit. Does not say that you have to be baptized to receive the Holy Spirit. No. The way that we receive the Holy Spirit into our lives, the way that the Spirit comes to dwell within our lives, is through confessing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That is the only requirement. I want you to hear that this morning because there are too many who will abuse that truth. And that is a lie. And we see it here very clearly that the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, as you have confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But as I was reading this, I think too often, and I've been guilty of this myself, is that I don't understand fully the power and the privilege it is to have the Spirit of God living within myself. Paul says that the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. The Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the grave is living within every single one of us. What a privilege that is. What a gift to have the Spirit of the Lord taking residency within our lives. It does not matter what this world does, what this world says. It does not matter what any person can do to you, what any country, politician, boss, you fill in the blank. None of them can change the reality and the guarantee and the promise that at this very moment, the Spirit of the Lord dwells within every single one of us who have called upon Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. There is no greater power in this world. There is no greater power because no one else has ever raised from the dead except for our Savior, Jesus Christ. No one else. And that Spirit that raised Him from the dead is alive in every single one of us, every single moment of our lives, so that not only are we not alone, not only just as the disciples were troubled, Jesus is saying, do not be troubled. The Spirit will be with you. He will comfort you. He will give you encouragement. He will lead you. He will guide you. In every single moment of our lives, we have the same guiding and leading from the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And while, yes, the reality is that these mortal bodies will pass away. They will fade away. Okay, as we get older, we're not able to do the same things we did when we were young, right? I have a toddler who's about to be 4 in October. He does not stop running. I do not understand it. Running, running, running. I'm like, dude, we just ran for a half hour straight down in the basement doing circles. I got to stop because I'm getting dizzy. All right. He's like, Dad, spin me around. I'm like, bud, I'm about to pass out. I cannot do, I've never done roller coasters. The spinning thing is not for me, buddy. All right. He's just spinning around, around. He's just going. He's just running. He does not stop. These bodies, they get old. They get broken. They get beat down. They get torn down. That's the reality of sin. That is just the penalty of the brokenness of our world. Yeah, they're going to pass away. But guess what? We have life in the Spirit. No matter what happens in this world, we are guaranteed heaven. We are guaranteed eternity with our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so this morning, as we just look at these three verses that are just so filled with life, we have these two categories. We have the flesh, and we have life in the Spirit. For us as believers, we know that tomorrow is not guaranteed. Tomorrow is not promised. Honestly, this evening isn't even promised, right? That's the reality of our world. That's the reality of brokenness. That's the reality of sin. That's the reality of this life. Tomorrow is not guaranteed. However, as followers of Jesus Christ, eternity with Him is. Eternity with our Heavenly Father is guaranteed. However, for those who are living in the flesh, for those in our world who have not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, tomorrow is also not guaranteed. This evening is also not guaranteed to them. They have no promise. It doesn't matter how much money they have. Does not matter what status they have in our culture. Doesn't matter where they live. Doesn't matter how good they are. Tomorrow is not guaranteed for them. And the reality is that in this very moment, for those who have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, the only guarantee they have in that moment, if they were to be taken away right now, is hell. Total separation from their Heavenly Father. And so, this morning, as we're looking at Romans chapter 8, verses 9 through 11, the word dwell is written three times. Paul talked about the Spirit of the living God dwelling within us three times. He says, the Spirit of God dwells in you. The Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. And our mortal bodies have life through His Spirit who dwells in you. So my question this morning simply is who dwells within you? Now I know the reality that we're all sinners, right? Just because Jesus Christ comes into our life does not mean that we stop being broken and sinful, right? It doesn't happen. I wish that were the case. I wish we didn't struggle with the things of this world. I wish we didn't struggle with our thoughts that are broken and sinful, right? But that's just the beauty of the Spirit coming into our lives, that as we truly understand that He is dwelling within us, that He is living, that He is active within our lives, is that those things, the desires of the flesh, they begin to go away. They begin to be contained. They begin to dissipate, and they begin to be overcome with the Spirit of the living God in our lives. He begins to come in and really clean up our lives, right? There's a classic book, and it was back when I was in college. I took a class that I thought was going to be on the rubric. Is that what it's called, right? The rubric where you get, thank you. On the rubric there, it tells you like what you're going to need for the class and everything in your school books. And it said the Bible. I was like, oh, this will be an easy one. I get to just take my Bible to class. I don't have to buy any other books. Like, this is great, right? And ended up being like one of the greatest classes I ever took. And he told us, hey, I want you to go on Amazon. I'm like, oh, man, it was a bait and switch. First, it's just you need the Bible, but now I got to go to Amazon and buy this book. And he's like, I want you to buy the book, My Heart, Christ Home. And it's a beautiful book. It's literally like 20 pages, all right? It's like this thin. It's like a track. I think it has two staples in it. That's how big it is, okay? And it was like a buck. I encourage you, go on Amazon. If you want it, I'll buy it for you. I mean it, all right? I'll tell Pastor Josh that you wanted it. And so I'll make him buy it. And in My Heart, Christ Home, and in it, I loved it because it talked about such a beautiful picture of the dwelling of the Spirit in our lives. And what happens is that it begins with accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and then the Spirit comes in and He begins to go through your house, right? He begins to clean it up, starting out, you know, in the kitchen. And all right, we got a bunch of junk in here. We need to clean up the kitchen, okay? I don't know, some of you, you know, maybe you have like that spotless kitchen, or maybe you let the dishes pile up, whatever. The Holy Spirit's coming in and cleaning that up, right? And then we're going to go to the living room where all the toys are gathered, and it's just chaos, right? We have all these books and pillows because you need a pillow for every season and a blanket for every season, all right? And so we're cleaning that all up, and we're getting rid of that and packing it away, right? And then he goes up to your bedroom and cleaning that out. And what's happening is that He's not throwing away things, right? He's dwelling within your life to make your house better. The Spirit is not in our lives, is not dwelling within us so that we don't have fun, so that we don't enjoy. No, He's saying, hey, I want to show you what life can be like. I want to show you how the Lord planned this life for you and I to look like as we live in Him. And then I love at the very end of the book, there's the junk drawer, right? We all got that junk drawer. I remember Haley and I, when we bought our first house, we bought a condo. And I learned a life lesson after this condo. And we went through this whole condo, and we were all excited because we were finally getting a house. We didn't have to have an apartment or anything. And it was just like, you know, you kind of had those like rose-colored glasses because you were excited, your first house. And we go through, we do the check-through and the walk-through, and everything's good. And we start to move in, and we're going to the kitchen, and we're putting everything away. And we start to kind of look around the kitchen, and we're like, there's no drawers. There was cabinets everywhere. There was cabinet doors everywhere. And then, I'm not even kidding, we had the smallest junk drawer I've ever seen in my life. It was the one drawer in this entire house. We had one drawer. It was the craziest thing. And so we got our next house. I was like, is there drawers in the kitchen? That was like my number one. I was like, is there drawers? If there's no drawers, I'm not buying it. Like, this is not happening. We need a drawer. It was literally the smallest drawer. By golly, we stuffed that drawer. Like, we stuffed that drawer in that condo. I tell you what, that bad boy was filled to the brim. You know, you're like getting underneath and trying to like push up on the rails to pull it out. You know, I mean, we filled that bad boy, okay? But I love in my heart Christ's home is that he talks about the junk drawer and the Spirit cleaning out that junk drawer in our lives. And so I ask you this morning, you know, who dwells within you? Who dwells in your life? Understanding this amazing free gift we have received of Jesus Christ in our lives. 12 years ago today, my family and I, we had gone through a really rough time. My mom and dad and me, and in Thanksgiving of 2012, my father was diagnosed with liver failure, and didn't really have an idea of what that meant. Wasn't really sure what would come of that, and so over the next several months, it was tons of hospital visits and just late nights in the ER, him in the ICU, really not sure what was going to happen. You know, at the time, he was on staff at our church that we were attending, and your mind begins to ask questions. You know, really, I was going to school, going to Moody to become a pastor, and I was like, man, like, why is this happening? I really, really struggled with it, and it was a really... It was a bad time in my life, and I did not handle it well. I wish I had handled it better. I feel like we always say that looking back on the struggles we have in life. Right? We can always look back and say, man, I wish I would have handled that better. And so on August 10th, 2013, we got a call early that morning that we needed to be at the hospital. And earlier that morning, it was so funny how the Lord works out. You know, lived my whole summer. Doctors were telling us that, you know, probably won't have a Thanksgiving together again. That, like, that would be the last one with my father. And that morning I had set up a meeting because throughout the summer I gave the River Church a chance at the River Church in Holly, and ended up playing drums all summer for them because I just randomly wrote on a connection card that I played drums. So when we tell you to text River Church to 97,000, we mean it because we need you. We need you to serve, and you don't know. We may call you that week because we need you to play drums, and that's exactly what they did for me. And I played drums that whole summer, and that morning I was given an internship on August 10th, 2013, and boy, I'm still here 12 years later. And also that morning my father got a transplant. And it's crazy. They said, you know, you got 10 years and he's still with us today. And I'm so grateful. Yeah, yeah, amen. And I'm grateful to look back on that and see, you know, my dad got to see me graduate college and got to see me marry my wife and see my boy be born and, you know, here in a couple weeks, got a little girl going to be here, and I don't know what I'm going to do with that. That's going to be weird, having a girl. I'm going to have to clean up my guns, and she ain't going to be dating. Yeah, exactly. But throughout that time, it was amazing. My father, even though tomorrow truly wasn't guaranteed, we had a confidence. We had the confidence knowing that eternity was promised through Jesus Christ. And there were times where I struggled with that. There were times where I was not a good follower of Jesus Christ during those months. There were times where my mind wandered. But he was faithful. And my dad knew, and I learned through that he was faithful whether my dad got a transplant or not. The Lord was faithful, and I knew the Lord was going to keep his promise. His promise that through Jesus Christ, we have the Spirit, and through the Spirit who dwells within us, we have life. We have the guarantee of eternity forever with him. Even though we face this reality of these mortal bodies that will pass away, we will dwell with him forever one day together in heaven because of Jesus. And so this morning, I want to ask you, who dwells within you? But I want to challenge you to take that question, to take that charge, to remember that those of us who have called Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have the Spirit of God who raised him from the dead dwelling within us, not just visiting, not just passing by, taking up residency in every single one of our lives this very minute. And the power and the call that we have in that to take that gift, to take that message to our lost and broken world who is living in the flesh. Our broken world, who truly is on the highway to hell. They are on the path of destruction. They do not have the guarantee of eternity. That if they were to pass away this very moment, they cannot say they are going to be in heaven because they have not experienced life through Jesus Christ and they don't have the dwelling of the Spirit in their lives. And so, church, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you of this passage here in Romans chapter 8, 9 through 11. Know confidently that the Spirit of the living God dwells within every single one of you. That as you have confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, his Spirit is in you. That is a guarantee. That is a promise. And it is through that promise that we have the guarantee of eternity with our Heavenly Father. Man, that is something to celebrate. That is something to hold on to. That is something that no matter what this world throws at us, we can have joy. We can have peace. Knowing that he dwells within us and that we are signed and sealed as his children. But we have a world out there that is hurting. We have a world out there that is not only not guaranteed tomorrow, they are not guaranteed eternity. And the Spirit of the living God does not dwell within them. And may we as a church share that glorious message of his death, burial, and resurrection with them. Because this ought not be a gift that we can keep to ourselves. They should see it through our actions. They should see it through the way that we live our lives. And they will see it because he dwells within us. We can't help but allow him to pour out of us. And so may we go from this place. May we be confident that the Spirit dwells within us. May we be confident in eternity with him. But may we be challenged to take that message of forgiveness, the message of his gospel, to our broken world that does not have that guarantee and does not have the Spirit dwelling within them. Would you pray with me, church? God, we come before you. Father, I thank you so much. I thank you for your goodness. God, I thank you for seeing us broken sinners living in our flesh, And you loved us so much that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for our sins. Not only was he raised from the dead, Father, but then you sent the Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead to dwell within our hearts, to dwell within our lives every single moment of every day so that we are not alone, but we are alive with you within us every single moment. Father, thank you. Thank you for sending the Spirit. Thank you for his dwelling in our lives. Father, we have a broken world. God, may you stir up in our hearts opportunities, desires to share this message of forgiveness, this message of hope, this message of brokenness and needing of salvation to a lost and hurting world, Lord. May your Spirit continue to chip away at the things inside of our lives that are not honoring and pleasing to you. May we become more like you every single day, Father. And God, may we just truly take this gift and share it so that while we may not be able to be promised tomorrow, that tomorrow is not guaranteed, Father, that our world may also be able to experience the guarantee of eternity that comes through your Son, Jesus Christ. God, we love you, we praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.